Looking to sponsor the podcast? Email us at info@bernardbergen.com.
What we're going to build on today is the importance of cultivating abundance. For many of us, one of the reasons we'll never achieve it is we can't see it. We really don't believe in it. We really don't believe that, one, life gets better, and two, that we should truly have the things we desire to have and experience the things we desire to experience. And I need you to really start some soul searching, some heart searching, and break those abundance blocks so that you can walk into everything that's coming to you. I know sometimes you think it's just about the grind, but I heard someone say this recently, and for most of us, we still fight with this, but they're like, money is the worst part of you. Anyone can make money, but a great relationship with your children, a great relationship with your significant other, that's not for everybody. That's for the people who are willing to cultivate abundance and do the heart work that allows you to walk in abundance. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together and running over. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And I love that last part. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. What is called genius is the abundance of life and health. And that was written by Henry David Thoreau. In our lives, we all want more abundance, and everyone has a dream of what abundance looks like for them. For some, it's purchasing a home, buying a new car, having enough money to travel the world. For some of us, it's putting our children through the top schools and colleges, or even just having a more fulfilling career. For us business owners, it's about growing a business that gives us consistent income and levels us up with our impact and opportunity. And while we want abundance, not many of us fully understand how to cultivate that abundance. Cultivating abundance is so necessary because many of us find ourselves growing and then stalling, and then repeating that, growing and then stalling. And the reality is, while you might be doing so many of the small things right, you might have blocks in your abundance process. And I had to admit that to myself to break through to new levels of abundance. See, the truth is, you hear those blocks every day when you open your mouth. It's when you say things like, I can't afford that. That's too expensive. I can't believe they paid that much for. That is language that goes against abundance. And it's a language that many of us still practice daily. In my research, one of the things I was tapping into, why does over 90% of people fail to keep their New Year's resolution? One glaring reason for that is they don't walk, live, and breathe in abundance. Because when you walk, live, and breathe in abundance, you are acknowledging an expanded state with unlimited possibilities. But it's hard for us to believe in unlimited possibilities. A question I had to ask myself, and I want to ask you guys, do you genuinely believe that you can have what you want and have more than enough so that you can share with others? Do you really believe that you can have everything you want and then have more than enough so that you have enough to share with others? And really think on that. That's one of the questions I'll challenge you to write down and answer when you have some time. Now, let's talk some facts. We live in by far the wealthiest country on the planet. And this is a number, it's measurable. In the United States, we have accumulated $62.6 trillion in wealth. That is 2.5 times more wealth than the second wealthiest country, which is China. China splits its wealth with over 1.4 billion people. In our country, we split our wealth between 330 million people. We are so wealthy in our country, our government doesn't regulate how many children a family can have. Currently, in China, they have a two-child policy. If you live in the United States of America, your chances to cultivate abundance is significantly higher than anywhere else on earth. Here's another fact. There are more than 1 billion people in the world who live on less than $1.25 per day. $1.25. Yet most of us, if we tell our truth, what's $1.25? We look at that like it's insignificant. The issue with that thought is that many of us have boxed abundance to mean only money. So we only work on earning money at the detriment of our faith, family, fitness, finances, and freedom. Abundance is more than just money. See, working on earning more money to solve your problems is not an abundant solution. While it is a solution, it's not an abundant solution. The only thing that creates more abundance in your life is working on yourself. Now consider this. For many of us, we have fancy cars, yet we don't offer rides to other people. For some of us, we have big homes, yet we don't invite others over to enjoy together what we've been blessed to have. For some of us, we have exciting careers that pay us consistently, yet we find it difficult to be more generous. And cultivating abundance pushes us beyond that mindset of lack, beyond that mindset that there's not enough to share. And we want to make sure we understand how to cultivate abundance right at the top of the decade. Now, I need you to always hear there is more than enough. And you might be staring at a mountain of bills and not enough income. There is still more than enough. And you might have just got laid off and haven't figured out what to do next. There's still more than enough. Now, throughout our life's journey, many of us have been here. Our bank account and our gas tank are both running on E. Doesn't change the fact that there is still more than enough. And I need you to get to the root of your money blocks, your abundance blocks. And I need you to tap into the process of cultivating abundance so you can truly walk into this decade attracting and earning everything that you decide to. Now, if I asked you, whose belief about money do you have? Whose belief about abundance did you tune into? It wouldn't take long for you to hear voices from the past teaching you something about money and abundance that doesn't apply to your life and your vision for abundance. In my research, one of the things that struck me as enlightening was at the age of 4, Oprah Winfrey's grandmother was teaching Oprah how to be great at doing laundry because she saw in her mind the best way for her granddaughter to make it was to be able to do laundry in an amazing way and be hired by others. In her own words, Oprah said, right as her grandmother was teaching her about doing laundry, she heard a still small voice deep down on the inside saying, "This will not be your life. Your life will be more than hanging clothes on a line." And that's what I want to push you guys to tap into. Your still small voice reminding you of who you are. Consider what would have occurred if Oprah had believed her grandmother and adopted her teachings on abundance and on money. And see, like Oprah, we were taught something. We were shown something. And some of those things we need to put by the wayside. We need to unblock and truly tap into the infinite abundance that sits within us. And this week, I want you to give yourself time to look within and see whose belief have you copied? Whose belief have you modeled? And is it working for you? Because if it's not working for you, I want you to consider pushing on your definition of abundance and tapping into the infinite possibilities that are truly accessible in your life. When you do this, this is a scary exercise because it's revealing. Sometimes it's things your mom taught you. Sometimes it's things your dad taught you. Sometimes it's a close family member or a mentor. And you need to really own it. You can still love them and not follow their abundance teachings. You just write down what they taught you that you were using that's not working. And you just write it down, you forgive them, you heal from it, and you open yourself to what you have the possibility of doing based on who you are and what you can do based on your belief system. See, if those beliefs are not working for you, let them go. And I had to sit with that. What do you believe about money, Bernard? Who taught you that belief? In my quiet space, I had to come to terms with what I really believed and how it was blocking me from being infinite and attracting to me opportunities, the right people, the right places, and the right situations. And I remember when I first started working on myself, the first thing I noticed was there were words that I would not dare say. One of those words were billionaire, because people like me, from where I was from, should not say things like billionaire. Another thing I wouldn't say was, I will pay for that. We all go out to eat and I would be like, you pay for your dish, I pay for mine. And I had to work on myself to get to a point where I would say, hey, whatever it is, I'll pay for it. Something else I found myself struggling because I wouldn't say was, while you're in town, why don't you stay with us? We have room, we have space. Because of my lack of abundance thinking, something else I had to come to terms with, there were places that I wouldn't dare go. One of those was to the Ferrari dealership. I love Ferraris. I love being around them. I remember the first person I saw buy a brand new factory delivered Ferrari. I could still see that car in my mind today. It was one of the most beautiful things I've seen in my life. And I remember its impression on me, but I would still run from going to the space where I could learn about something I enjoyed, the Ferrari dealership. I also saw that I wouldn't go to art auctions. In my abundance block, why would they pay that much for that? Again, if you're an investor, you know art holds value like almost nothing else on the planet. But it was my abundance block that didn't allow me to connect to that. Another thing that I wouldn't do, whether I could afford it or not, was flying first class consistently or flying on private jets because of my abundance block, because of my belief system. And as I've worked diligently to overcome my abundance blocks, I saw my income double, sometimes double in the same year, sometimes double in the same month, because I wasn't shutting down the opportunities for me to truly earn and attract the things that I wanted in my life. I saw my influence grow exponentially. More importantly, I saw the impact it had on my family. And it was so amazing because I thought it was more work that I needed to do, when the truth was, I needed to get those blocks out of my life. Now think of all that Oprah has accomplished. What if she had adopted that block at four? At four, it would have taken her life in a totally different trajectory. And I'm challenging you to look at where there still might be some blocks. For some of you, you've already done this hard work. But if you still have some of those blocks, take some time this week and truly address them so you can walk into the infinite. Because if you believe there's limits, you're blocking your abundance. The truth is, you tune into abundance. It's not something you work for or acquire. You have to tune into it. And many of us are just out of tune with what's possible. And what I saw in my own life was that when I was bold enough to ask, grounded enough to affirm, and intentional about the actions I took, then abundance and overflow was my daily reality. This is what my day looked like today. I had to wrap up my silent meditation retreat, and when I got free of that, Latasha came back from grocery shopping and we just spent the day together. That was because of abundance. I remember a time in our lives that we saw each other walking out the door and we saw each other because we slept in the same bed. There was never enough money. But because we were bold enough to cultivate abundance, which is simple, you ask for what you want, you affirm what shows up, and then you take intentional action. So you ask, you affirm, and then you take action.
Who's in your corner? Now, that's one of the first things I try to establish with new coaching clients. Who is in your corner? Not who cheers for you only when you win, but who's there when sometimes the speed bumps, setbacks, roadblocks, and blind spots take you out. Who's in your corner? As a coach, I happen to be one of the people in your corner. But you're gonna have to start to assess all of the relationships in your life and truly figure out who's there for you. Thick or thin, up or down, win or lose, or even draw. Who's in your corner? Who's still cheering when it's just an idea and they can't see what you say the vision is? Having those people in your corner help to accelerate the process, especially when you hit the speed bumps of life. You're gonna hit speed bumps, y'all. But here's a challenge. if you hit a speed bump fast enough, before you slam back to the ground, you actually go up. And as you accelerate and go up, you can see a bit further than you would had you not hit the speed bump. Assess who's in your corner. Challenge if these relationships are relationships you need to take forward or relationships you need to let go of. Make the hard decision now so that as you grow, as you change, as you accelerate, people in your corner are helping you truly finish your mission.
Thanks for listening to the Bernard Bergen Podcast. Leave a comment with two things you learned and one challenge to the information. Like and share this episode, and feel free to recommend topics we should cover on the podcast.